Welcome to Raising the New Earth podcast. I'm your host, Noah Dory, an artist, holistic nutritionist, and a mother, here to share my experience and engage in new perspectives in health, food, nature, consciousness, and spirituality. Together, we'll be exploring our biospiritual connection with motherhood and Mother Earth. Take a listen.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Raising the New Earth podcast. I am your host, Noah Dory, and today I wanted to share with you five lessons that I learned for living a better life. So let's dive in. Lesson number one that I learned is that a successful person is not successful because they didn't fail. They actually failed many, many times, but they're successful because they refuse to give up. Second lesson I learned is how we think and what we do on a day-to-day basis is defining who you are becoming. So who do you want to be? Lesson number three, the only constant in life is change. And we know that hard branches break, but flexible branches survive. So how can we be more flexible with life? We're going to talk about that. Lesson number four, real winning is not against others, but against our own ego. And the last lesson number five, being happy doesn't mean that you have everything, but it does mean that you are happy and grateful with what you have. The universe loves gratitude. And so we are going to apply a certain principle that has really helped me in my life. So let's begin. Lesson number one, a successful person is not successful because they didn't fail, but because they didn't let failure define them or stop them. So what people don't realize is that most successful people, at least those that I've come across, have failed again and again and again and again. But the only difference between them and the next person is that they didn't give up. They learned invaluable lessons from their failures. They tweaked their approach. They changed it a little bit. And then they pursued to achieving their dreams to set up another goal. So nothing happens overnight. It's never an overnight success. It's always a process. And whoever is standing in line for that success, doing what they need to do day in and day out, will achieve that success that they want. Now, if the universe sends us messages that we need to change our approach, then we change our approach. It might not be the thing that we wanted, but it will be another thing that is better for us. It's what we need and not what we want. So as we go through life, it's really easy to not have thoughts of despair and discouragement. And it's really hard to push yourself through, especially as an entrepreneur. If you've ever owned a business, you know how hard it is to keep ourselves motivated. But the things that we have to remember is that our thoughts are things. And as we focus our minds in one direction and we push persistently towards it, small bits of progress stack up upon us, upon one another, and they produce monumental changes in our life and monumental results. And James Clear brilliantly wrote about it in his book, Atomic Changes. I recommend this book. Second lesson, how you think and what we do on a day-to-day basis defines who we are becoming. So is that who you want to be? So look at yourself yesterday, look at yourself the day before, the last year. Is that who you want to be? And if that's not who you want to be, you can change it. Neuroplasticity in life is very important. The idea of neuroplasticity is not a new one. It was first theorized about 120 years ago. And what it says is that this is the ability of the brain to adaptively rearrange connections, altering both structure and function of the nervous system. And the brain can rewire itself, creating biochemical changes in certain brain areas like neural networks, neural connectivity, and the generation of new neurons. And these changes can happen not only as a result of regular developmental process, but also it can happen after trauma, chemical imbalances, experiences that are both positive and negative, and purposefully with intention, planning, and practice. Dr. Joe Dispenza talks about this neuroplasticity in depth, and his new book, Evolve Your Brain, The Science of Changing Your Mind, explores that biology of change. It explores, he shares his research into spontaneous remissions, and Dispenza found that similarities in people who changed, who experienced so-called miraculous healing, they actually changed their mind, which then changed their health. So the question is to ask ourselves is, can we begin to contemplate change within ourselves, to learn to think independently of our traumas and our cultural and social, economical, and of imprints that we grew up with? Can we independently rearrange the environmental stimuli that we are exposed to? Can we start thinking independently of who we think we are? So how free are we? If we are born with limited beliefs, if we are born, you know, within Kabbalah talks about our sign and our purpose, if we are born to parents that we believe leave an imprint, not just a DNA imprint, but also a thought imprint within ourselves, how free are we? And especially in this era where we are bombarded with chaos and noise from everywhere around the world. And there is the thrill of text messaging and phone calls and the internet and the entertainment industry. How can we make time to meditate, to plan our future, to mentally rehearse the behaviors that we want to change, and to think about new ways of being more free, new ways of tapping into our creativity beyond our predictable genetic destiny? So this is something that I found. This is something that really hit home for me. I mean, I thought about Dr. Martin Luther King, and not only was he a great leader, but his mind and body were united for the same cause. In other words, he didn't think one thing and then behave contrary to his intentions. His thoughts and actions aligned completely to that same outcome. And so to change is really to think and act greater than how we feel. And emotions like fear and worry that we all have, frustration, greed, self-importance, are all familiar feelings that even in the midst of transformation, if we decide to succumb to, will point us in the wrong direction. And so taking some time to meditate and tap into your true desires and your true self-identity, I think is crucial for you to become and keep becoming who you truly want to be. Lesson number three. We know that the only constant in life is change. And we also know that the palm tree having these beautiful, flexible branches allow it to survive. So palm trees have the most special characteristics. So they have very deep roots and they have flexible trunk and they have very small canopy branches and leaves. The roots of these trees have to be so deep in order for the tree to find moisture and water, especially in the summer where the soil is drier, right? And the tall trunks, many even 85 feet tall, require branches that are so flexible that they can sway even in the mercy of a bad windy weather, because if they were stiff, they would break. They would lose that flexibility and they would break. And so if we can learn anything from palm trees, which we have plenty of here in California, is that living according to these three characteristics allows us to find flexibility, strong roots, and lightness so that we can grow tall and have endurance. And with such deep roots, we can find our version of fresh water, our serenity, our calmness and peace, even in difficult days and in times that we really don't feel like it or don't know that we really have it so that we will not collapse. And if we were able to be flexible in what really matters and versatile when something important is at stake, if we can, you know, if we can replace blame with dialogue and listening and patience and kindness and speak from the heart chakra, we will not easily break. So be flexible like trees when the wind blows, bend, but do not break. That is a quote from Machona. Number four, lesson number four that I learned is real winning is not against someone else, but against ourselves. If you ever heard the phrase me versus me, this is the ego. Ego stands for everyone's got one, and our true self. According to psychologists, if we don't have an ego, we would become mentally ill. So the ego got a bad reputation over the years, but I think the ego can be something more valuable than our enemy, because our ego can drive us to do things. But then we have to check in with ourselves, like we talked about before. Am I being driven from the right intention, with the right intention towards an objective of sharing for the sake of others? Or am I desiring it just for myself? So there are some lies that our ego tells us, such as when I have enough money and power, I will have total security. I don't need anyone. Total independence is a virtue. So you put yourself in isolation. I may not be perfect, but I'm so much better than her or him. Or when I'm thin and reach my weight goal, I'll be happy. These are lies. And these are lies that are so easy to believe because they seem like they're coming from ourselves, but they are coming from our ego self. They protect us. They keep us very comfortable. And when we live according to the desires of our ego, we may feel contentment, but we will never tap into our full potential. We will never experience joy that is meant for us in this lifetime. And if we are able to let go of our ego, we can then see some truth, real truth, right? We know that the battle of the ego is a continuous battle. As children, we approach people and experiences with curiosity and openness and love. We interact with the world. We have our desires. We have our potential. We create emotional experiences that we absolutely love. But over time, we can experience some events that leave a mark with us. If you ever read the book, The Body Keeps the Score, we have some trapped traumas. Our ego starts to protecting us. And we start isolating ourselves or changing our behaviors with others. So it's important to know that when we desire to receive for the sake of sharing with others, that particular desire, as opposed to desire for the self alone, just for me, it breaks down the walls of the ego and starts to unite us. We have the power to choose our reality. Each moment we can connect in so many different degrees to light and to darkness, depending on our actions, depending on our thoughts. To the degree our actions connect to the divinity and God, we can then experience light and fulfillment. In the end, it is through unity and compassion that we can eradicate and, I would say, control the ego. And last lesson, lesson number five, being happy doesn't mean that you have everything, but it does mean that you are happy and grateful with what you have. The universe loves gratitude, and Louise Hay talks about it in her book and in her work. I look at Louise Hay as the pioneer of connecting the body and the mind and bringing it to the Western civilization. So something that I love to say, I love being in gratitude for what I have. I love everything that I have. And I add, thank you, God, more, please. Gratitude and positive affirmations are powerful beyond belief, and they can be the tool that creates an abundance and joyful life experiences more so in our lives than just, you know, riding the wave of a negative thought. And that can also be the tool to reprogram negative beliefs. a study in 2015 that was published in NIH examined the role of gratitude in people with heart failure, HF. And they looked at the mechanism through which spirituality may exert its benefits on the physical and mental health of these patients. And that study shows the association between gratitude, spiritual well-being, sleep, mood, fatigue, cardiac-specific self-efficacy, and inflammation in 186 men and women with stage B HF. And that study concluded that gratitude fully or partially mediates the beneficial effects of spiritual well-being on these endpoints. And the efforts to increase gratitude may be a treatment for improving well-being in HF patients' lives and be a potential clinical value. How amazing is that? So this is, you know, sometimes I have clients that say, oh, you know, I don't believe in hocus pocus. I believe in science. Well, last time I checked, I'm a graduate of a health science and nutrition degree. This is science. You can find science. If you're looking for science, you can find science to the science of gratitude and positive affirmations as powerful tools to treat one's well-being emotionally, mentally, and physically. So that's it. These are the five lessons that I learned for living better life. Number one was a successful person is not successful because they didn't fail, but because they didn't let failure define or stop them. Number two is how we think and what we do on a day-to-day basis is creating who you are becoming. So ask yourself, is this who I want to become? Number three, the only constant in life is change. Try to be flexible like a palm tree. Number four, real winning is not against someone else, but against our own ego. And number five, being happy doesn't mean that you have everything, but it does mean that you are happy and grateful with what you have. The universe loves gratitude. Thank you, God, more, please. So we need to remember that people more than ever now need our kindness, need our acknowledgement, a smile, a pat on the back, our empathy, our patience. Every one of us, every single one of us is going through something. So let's all try and be kind. That's it for today. I hope these five tips were of benefit to your life, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Hope you guys enjoyed this conversation and this episode. Don't forget to sign up to my new 360 wellness course on my website, naturallynoah.com/courses, and receive 15% coupon code when you mention Raising the New Earth podcast. Sending you love and light. Until next time.